read God's Word this morning in Romans 13. Romans 13, we'll read the entire chapter. This is the Word of God. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them, upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Thus far, we read God's Word. On the basis of this passage of Scripture and many other passages of Scripture, we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 39. Page 22 in the back of the Psalter. This is the Catechism's explanation of the fifth commandment, which is, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the Catechism asks, what doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. When we place the behavior of our society under the microscope of the Word of God, we find increasing dishonor and growing disrespect towards those in authority. You and I see that, no doubt, among the children of the world in which we live, who show very little respect or almost no respect and honor to those who are in authority over them, whether that be their parents or teachers in school or any other authority that there might be. Not only that, but what's true of children in society is true of adults as well. And this is reflected in so many parts of the society in which we live. This dishonor for authority is evident in the music and is promoted in the music of the world. It's promoted in the television programs and in the movies of this world. It's even something that's practiced and carried out in sports. If you watch a football game or a basketball game, you know that part of the game today is the coaches or the players arguing with the officials when there is a bad call. It's all part of the society in which we live, and that's not surprising. And in fact, we should expect this, because in the world, there's no acknowledgement of the authority of God Himself over their lives. And when there's no acknowledgement of the authority of God over their lives, that does away with all authority itself. Men live to really serve one authority, and they want themselves to be that authority of their lives, and so they live for self. And the Bible warns that we can expect this as well as the coming of Jesus Christ near. We read of that in 2 Timothy 3. And this is what's going to characterize the world in the days before the coming of Jesus Christ. But now this morning, the third commandment does not come to the world. It has something to say to the world, don't get me wrong. But the fifth commandment, I'm sorry, comes before us. And we have to ask ourselves, what about us? Does this lawlessness, this dishonor of authority that's found in the world, does that characterize us in any way? We have to recognize as well the battle that we face. What I said about the world, and that they have no honor for the authority of God Himself because of the evil and sin in their hearts. That's found in us too. In our sinful natures. We would like it in our lives, living out of our sinful natures, if I was the final authority of my life. And is that not true of us in many ways? That in certain parts of our lives, we live that way, as if I am the final authority about what I may do in a certain situation. And because there is that desire in us that lives in our hearts, let's understand as well that the things of this world, the disrespect and dishonor of society, can and does rub off on us. If we and our children are constantly listening to the music of this world, which is self-centered and not God-glorifying, if we're constantly watching the television programs and the movies of this world, if we're not reading critically like we ought, and we take this all in, all of which glorifies rebellion before God, what do you expect is going to happen? That's going to feed that sinful desire in us. And so we must be aware of this. The fifth commandment comes to us this morning. Comes to the church this morning. And God Himself, as the authority of our lives, speaks and says, honor those in authority over you. We should take notice as we look at the fifth commandment this morning that it's the very first commandment of the second table of God's law. You'll remember that there are two parts to the law of God, and that's brought out in the summary of the law that we hear every week. There are those first four commandments that deal directly with God and our relationship to Him and how we are to live before His face, how we are to worship and to serve Him. We are to love Him and to serve Him. The second table of the law shows how we are to live in relationship to the neighbor. But that's not separated from our relationship with God. But the idea is that one of the chief ways in which we show our love for God is by loving the neighbor. And so the second table of the law flows out of the first table of the law. Really, it goes back to the very first commandment, remember, where God says, no idols, but serve me and me alone. And now this is how you do it in relationship to other people. But we should take notice as well that the fifth commandment is the commandment that begins this second table of the law. Not the command, thou shalt not kill, or not the command, thou shalt not commit adultery, or thou shalt not covet, or thou shalt not bear false witness. But the command that comes first here is honor thy father and thy mother. And the idea is, this is first here because when we violate this commandment, the very foundations of loving the neighbor are destroyed. We must understand that what comes first for us is God-ordained authority. And if we reject God-ordained authority in our lives, that's going to have an effect on everything else. This is first. This is foremost. This is what we must see in relationship to others. First of all, there is authority in our lives. And this morning, if there's nothing else that you and I go home with, we must go home with this. That the authority of our lives is God Himself. And how we live under authority in this life, those people that God has placed in authority over us, how we live in relationship to them reflects, it shows what you think and what I think about the authority of God Himself over our lives. So this commandment we must see in the light of the authority of God Himself. So I call your attention this morning, keeping that in mind, to this command, subject to all authority. Subject to all authority. First, we look at this authority in our lives, the idea and the concept of authority. Secondly, at our attitude towards that, our calling in relationship to that. And finally, at God's reward of this. The fifth commandment, understand, not only addresses the authority of parents over their children, but the fifth commandment addresses authority in general. So this morning, we're going to look a bit more broadly at the fifth commandment and what it has to say about authority in general. We do that because the catechism itself does that. It says that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction. In Romans 13, verse 1, we read of this authority. We read of that authority in our lives in the words, the higher powers. Literally, the idea there is governing authorities. This sets before us the question then, what is authority? Well, authority is not the same thing as power. That one man is stronger than another man does not give him authority. That you as parents are bigger than your children is not what gives you authority over your children. That a man is strong, even physically or mentally, does not necessarily give him the right to be the president of the United States. A man with the power of wealth or higher intelligence, just because he has that, does not make him an authority. But instead, authority means this, that a man has the right to tell those who are under him what to do with the expectation that they will obey. Authority is the exercise of rule in a certain jurisdiction, a jurisdiction that God Himself has given, so that a man in authority has the right to tell others what to do, and he has the right then as well to expect that they will obey. These are the authorities that we have in our lives in many different ways. There, of course, is authority in the home. The husband has a position of authority as the head of the home. There, God has given to him the right to rule. He has a certain jurisdiction there over his home. He's in a position of authority over his wife and over his children. And then parents together possess authority over their children. They have the right to tell their children what to do with the expectation that their children will obey them when they are told what to do. And that's carried out as well in the schools. So in the schools, the teachers, as they represent the parents, have the right to expect the same thing. That in their rule, they will demand obedience And they have the expectation that those children will obey. You have this authority in the workplace, where there is the boss, the employer, who is over the employee. There you have a higher power, a higher authority that God has placed over that employee. And there's the expectation there that that employer has the right to tell those who are under him what they will do, with the expectation that they will do it. Same is true in the church. In the church there is authority. Of course, Jesus Christ is the one who rules in the church, but He rules through the instituted offices in the church. And He's given some a jurisdiction, a higher power, authority within the church. Those are the pastors and the elders and the deacons. But also we recognize that there is this authority in the state. Paul in Romans 13 is especially speaking there of the civil government. That's evident from the fact in verse 4, he talks about their calling to bear the sword. He's talking about the government in their work. He's talking there about the president of our country, the lawmakers of our country, the judges of the land, the policemen of the land, and so on, as they are part of these higher powers. They have the right as well to make laws and to demand that the people who are under them obey those laws. That's authority. Yet when we're looking at the concept of authority, there's more to it than that. The question then arises, why do certain men or women have positions of authority over us? What gives them the right to rule in their jurisdiction, whether that's in government, whether that's in the home, whether that's in the church? What gives them that right? Well, Romans 13, verse 1, declares this vital and important truth that we need to understand authority rightly, and it is this, that authority is not of man, but it is only of God. Authority is from God. Rule is from God. That we must understand in relationship to government especially. Of course, the long-standing principle in our society, in our country, is that authority is vested in the people. It's ruled by the people and for the people. And the idea in our country then is really what where authority comes from. The thinking of many is from people themselves. They're the ones who elect those who are in positions of authority. And so their thinking is the authority comes from man himself. Although in the end, is there not some acknowledgement of the authority of God when elected officials do take an oath and swear using the name of God? But understand this morning that authority does not arise from man. Man is not the source of authority. The majority is not the source of authority. But Romans 13 verse 1 teaches that all authority belongs to God. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Why? For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. The idea there is that God is the one who gives these positions of authority and places men in those positions of authority. It's speaking here specifically of the authorities in government. And no matter how they got there, in some countries, those leaders may have gotten there by a military takeover. In our country, it's by election. And whether or not we voted for them, we believe, because God is sovereign, that in whatever way those men got into office, maybe even if they cheated to get there, they're there because God put them there. Authority comes from God Himself. That's part of believing the sovereignty of God as it's applied to authority. What that means is whenever We come before authority, really. We come face to face with our sovereign God. Because He is the one who possesses all authority. He's in control of all things. Our leaders, our authority over us, whatever that authority may be in the workplace, in the home, in the state, in the church, this is the authority that God Himself has put there. Children, you need to understand that too. The parents you have them because God gave them to you. And if you say you don't like your parents and you maybe wish that your parents were more like so-and-so's parents because they seem to be such great parents, you're really saying to God, God, you messed up. You gave me the wrong parents. And you're rebelling against the authority of God Himself. Same is true within the church or within the state as well. God calls us to submit to this authority. But there's another part to this as well that we must understand. God has conferred all authority upon Jesus Christ. We read of that in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, Jesus Himself says that just before His ascension into heaven, when He says, "All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth." And the word power there is the word authority, literally. All authority is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Jesus Christ rules. And we know that He rules. The Scriptures teach us how it is that He was given that rule. He was given that rule through His suffering. He came to this earth in the wonder of the Incarnation. He suffered at the hands of wicked men. And He died. And He suffered the wrath of God in that. But in the way of that humiliation, Jesus Christ was glorified so that He rose on the third day. He had ascended into heaven. And He's enthroned in heaven itself as the Lamb who was slain. We recently considered that in Revelation, seeing that the Lamb who was slain is the one who rules in the history of the church, in the history of the world, ruling over all things for the good of the church and for His second coming. But what that means then is that the power and the authority that is given to Christ is the sword power in the world and the key power in the church. And He then gives men to carry out that rule in the midst of this world. So too, when we see authority over us, the authority of government officials, parents, even a boss and office bearers, we see in this the rule and the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, before we go on to understand our calling under that authority, there's a word here to those who are in positions of authority. There's a word here this morning for us as parents. There's a word this morning here for you employers. There's a word this morning even for government officials, whether or not they are here. And there's a word, of course, to those who are in positions of authority within the church. It's vital to understand, no matter what position of authority you and I might have, that always, in that position of authority, we are under authority. We're under the authority of God Himself. It's vital for parents to understand that in their calling as parents. Parents, you are parents because God has given to you children. By giving to you children, He has made you parents. He's given to you that position of authority. And He requires something of you. These children are not your own to do with as you please. It's not that you find the best way to bring them up. But instead, God says, I give you My Word. Maybe sometimes we wish that there were a manual to follow in the teaching and the instruction of our children. Well, there's not a manual to follow as far as the physical things of caring for children, but there are others to help us. But there is a manual to follow for how our children are to be taught and instructed. How we're to discipline. It's right here. So easily we can go off after the latest psychology. Psychologists today, what they say about raising children. No, what we want to know is what does the Word of God say? We look at that authority of the Word of God. As parents, we are under that authority of God. We must discharge this duty that God has given to us in the way that God commands. We must see ourselves as parents who are on God's errand to do the work of teaching and instructing our children. Discipline and instruction is all tied to what God has called us to do as parents. We must not provoke our children to wrath, but instead we must exemplify in our own lives the love and the mercy and the grace of God. And in the end, our calling as parents is to teach our children to live under His authority. So that our children see it's not just about me. It's not just how you speak to me. It's not just how you act towards me. In the end, it's how you live before the face of God. That's why we don't try to manipulate our children. We don't just throw our weight around when it comes to our children. We want them to respect and honor the one true and living God. Now what we've said here applies to all those who are in authority, whether that's an employer or office bearer or government leader. Those are positions in which we may not just do what we want in them, that others are under us, and we become puffed up in that power. We must not, but instead understand in those positions of authority that God gives, we're still under the rule of God Himself. Now as we find this authority in our lives, what is the calling that we have? Well, the calling that we have is that we submit to this authority. Or we can put it this way, two words, respectful submission. Children, try to remember those two words. Respectful submission. Those two words come right out of the Word of God that we're considering this morning. Respectful. That comes out of the fifth commandment itself when it says, honor thy father and thy mother. Respect. Honor. That's part of it. But also submission is the other word. That's the word that we have here in Romans 13 and in many other passages of Scripture as well. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That means be submissive to those higher powers. That's the demand that's set before us here then in the fifth commandment of God's law. Respectful submission. We must understand that clearly this morning. Maybe we would think it's something else. Maybe you'd say to me, Pastor, what about obedience? Where's obedience in that? Well, let me assure you, obedience is included in that. But notice, the fifth commandment does not say, obey father and mother. Doesn't mean it's not there. Children, don't think that. But the reason it's not there, and the reason that that's not foremost and on the forefront, is because obedience is not all that it's about. For example, a child can obey what mom tells him or her to do when she says, go clean your room. That child may actually go and do it, but still not be obeying the fifth commandment because they do it grumbling and complaining the whole way. They're stomping down the steps as they go to do that or down the hallway. And that's not obedience. What this talks about is that there's something more. It's a matter of the heart. Disobedience to the fifth commandment. Or maybe others would say, yeah, but being at the beginning of this second table of the law, shouldn't the focus here be on love? What about love? Well, let me assure you too, love is included in this. It's included in what the Catechism says too, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother. But notice the word that it uses later on, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction. Love is included, but love's not the focus here. Why not? Well, because I've heard it said, for example, by teenagers, by young people who are openly defying their parents and rebelling against their very specific instructions. And they say to mom and dad, but mom and dad, I really love you. No, you don't. You're not putting that into action. So we shouldn't just focus on love, and we shouldn't just narrow it down to obedience. The essence of the fifth commandment is respectful submission. The calling here is that we honor and submit to those in authority over us. Submission. It's not just a calling for wives. It's a calling for every one of us in relationship to the authority that is over us. Submission means this. It's willingly placing ourselves under the authority that God has put in our lives. It's an acknowledgement that those government leaders, that the office bearers in the church, that the parents that I have, that the husband that I have, is the authority that God has put in my life. It's an acknowledgement of that. That's the way I look at them. God put them there. And now I willingly place myself under their rule, under their jurisdiction. And submission means it's not dependent upon how they rule me. This is always going to be my attitude towards them. You see, that's why we have to distinguish this from obedience a little bit. Submission does not require always obeying. We know that the Scriptures give one exception to obedience of authority, and that is when that authority that is over us requires of us to do something that is against the Word of God, that conflicts with the Word of God. But that exception is not an exception for submission. I don't have to obey, but I still have to submit. That means I still have to look at that individual as an authority that God has placed over me, and that must be my attitude towards them. This is always the calling that God gives to us. Submit. It's not always shown in obedience. Often it is, but I must submit. And along with that, and that submission, when I recognize this authority over me, there must be honor as well. In fact, you cannot submit unless you honor the authority that is over you. The two go hand in hand, don't they? When you honor that person, you respect that person that is over you. And that's what's required of us, that we honor and respect those whom God has placed over us. We may think we know more, and in some instances we do, but still that does not take away the calling to honor and respect and to submit to those who are over us. And as I said, often that is shown in obedience. And obedience is this. Children, this is especially for you, but this is for all of us in relationship to authority. Obedience is this. It's doing what mom and dad say without challenge, without excuse, without delay. Without challenge, without excuse, without delay. It's doing what mom and dad say, doing what that authority says. Children, this is a command for you. God in His love for you has given a command specifically for you, no matter how young or old you are. And He says to you in relationship to your parents, honor them, obey them, submit to them. You obey your parents right away? When mom tells you to do something, you find yourself arguing with her, is that your first response? Well, God says, that is not obedience to this command of His law. But now this morning, we must look at it more generally and broadly too. That the calling before us is this, that we must stand in respectful submission to all those who rule over us. You know why? Because they stand before us as God's representatives. We go back to that idea that I said at the introduction of the sermon. The idea is this. We know that Jesus Christ says so often in His ministry that what is done outwardly reflects what is on the inside. A good tree produces good fruit. A corrupt tree is going to produce corrupt fruit. Well, that's how we must look at this commandment as well this morning. The issue is this. What do you think of the authority of God? And what you and I think of the authority of God Himself is going to be reflected in how we live under the authority that is found in our lives. Wives, and how you deal with your husbands, how does that reflect what you think, what you believe about the authority of God Himself over your lives? Children, how you live under authority in your lives, what does that say about what you think of the authority of God? It says it to each one of us as we're under the authority of the state, under the authority of the elders in the church. What is our attitude towards them? What is what we say about them? What do our actions say in the end, not just about them, but about God? If we desire to live under the authority of God Himself and the authority of His Word, that's going to be shown in our lives. Beloved, this is what we must take home this morning. Do we live under the authority of God and His Word? Do we? If we do, that's shown in how we live under all that other authority that we have here on this earth. If we're constantly running from that authority, if we're constantly rebelling against that authority, that says something awful about our hearts and what we think of the authority of God Himself. So keeping that in mind, we look at how we are to submit to those in authority over us. We are to submit then with this respectful submission to those who are in authority over us in the government, because they receive their authority from God Himself. Not from us, not from the population, from God Himself. When we see our government officials, whether that's a policeman, the judge, or those state officials, or the national lawmakers and the president himself, we must see those whom God has put in a position of authority over us. We may not agree with everything that they stand for, but we still must submit. In fact, that's our confession in the Belgic Confession, Article 36, which says, it is the bounden duty of everyone to submit himself to the magistrates. As Christians, as Protestant Reformed Christians, we should be the most law-abiding citizens that there are. And along with being those law-abiding citizens, we as God's people should be praying for our elected officials as well, something I must do more frequently as well in congregational prayer. The same holds true as well for those who serve in the offices in the church. What's your attitude towards those office bearers in the church and the decisions that they make? Our attitude must be, we understand and see that Jesus Christ is the one who has put them into office. He's qualified them for that work. And we have the calling then to honor them, to submit to them. That doesn't mean we always have to agree. But if there's a disagreement, there's the right way to carry that out. More and more we think we have the right, if we disagree with something, to make that known and to make that public. So easily today that's done on the computer, on the internet, on Facebook, and other chat groups as well. What the consideration must be is that a way that's showing honor to those whom God has placed over us and to the decisions that they make. Remember, this is about the respect and honor of Christ Himself. We show honor and respect for Christ in submission to Him in the way of submitting to those who are in rule over us. And the same thing you must do as employees under your employers. We understand that this is one of the reasons why we believe that labor union membership is wrong. Because that threat of strike and what labor unions do to try to get more pay and better working conditions and so on is using rebellion to get what they want. So we understand why that's wrong, but my concern is, and it ought to be our concern too, that attitude of rebellion that's found there ought not to live in our hearts. It's not just, I don't belong to a labor union. I keep the fifth commandment of God's law. No, what's your attitude towards your boss? Even sometimes he doesn't treat you very well. You honor him? Respect him? Are you talking about him behind his back? Are you slowing down your work pace because of what he does to you? Now, see what the Catechism says. We love and honor and show fidelity to all those in authority over us. This must be our attitude. An attitude that's not based on how they act towards us, that authority over us, but understanding this is what God Himself calls us to do. But the fifth commandment, and Romans 13 as well, speak of a reward. The fifth commandment does that when it says that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Romans 13 speaks of this positively and negatively in verses 3 and 4. And it says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. The fifth commandment, when it says that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, is not promising to us long life here on this earth if we honor and submit to authority. But instead, what it's speaking of is the land of Canaan. It's speaking to the people of Israel that in that context, Canaan, life in Canaan, living in Canaan, which of course we understand is a picture of heaven. So the promise that God gives to those who follow in this commandment is heavenly life. But the negative is true too. Those who do not obey, those who constantly are rebelling against authority and will not live under the authority that God has put in their lives, they will receive judgment. That's the word as well that you find in Romans 13 in regard to the civil authorities. If you resist the government leaders and the laws of the land, then you must be afraid of them because they exercise the sword power. But there's something more than that. Romans 13 speaks as well of the judgment of God. Those who continue in that way of sin, those who continue in that way of rebellion, will be under the judgment of God. But for those who do well, there is praise. Now we have to understand this rightly. This does not mean, of course, that whether or not we have heavenly life is dependent upon our keeping of this commandment. That's not what it says. That's not the point. There is a warning, and a very clear warning. For those who are continuing in the way of rebellion, God says, stop. You children, you young people, you adults, wives, fathers in your work, wherever that authority is, where you are rebelling against authority, the Word of God says, stop. Don't walk in that way anymore. This is a dangerous pathway. Because of the relationship of this commandment to the first. Because rebellion against authority in life is really a rebellion against God Himself. And one who continues on that pathway shows that they really do not know the authority of God Himself and don't love God. And that's why there is judgment for them in the way of walking in that pathway. We should understand this from a practical point of view as well. This warning of judgment and the promise of praise and blessing must spur us on to faithfulness. Beloved, there are serious consequences for disobedience in regard to this commandment. There are serious consequences in the line of generations. Grandparents and parents, if you're setting an example of rebellion for your children, you can be assured that your children are going to follow in that way, and it's going to intensify in their lives as well. Rebellion to authority gets handed down from generation to generation. Children see our sins, and they have the same sinful natures that we have, and they will desire to walk in that very same way. So we as parents must be spurred on to teach our children submission to authority. Not just their submission under us while we don't live it ourselves, but be an example to our children and to the generations to come. And we can be assured of this. In the way of obedience, we will experience the fullness of this promise. Because this is the life that is earned for us by Jesus Christ on the cross. And we can be assured this morning where we do disobey, and we all do. Where we don't speak respectfully of our government leaders, of leadership in church, of husband or parents. In the way of confession, there is forgiveness. There's forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. We know that God will judge all workers of iniquity. But we can be assured this morning that this promise of life is a promise for us. It's a promise for us not because we've kept this commandment so well. We fail. But there's this promise of life, everlasting life, because of what Jesus Christ has given to us. And at the judgment day when we stand before Him, none of us is going to be able to say, yeah, but I did this and I did that. No, it's nothing that I've done. It's all what Christ has done. May that knowledge, what Christ has done, spur us on to be faithful in living under the authority of God, as that's seen in many authorities in our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the reminder this morning of this word and this commandment. We confess before Thee that in so many ways we rebel against authority in our lives. Father, use this word to strengthen us in respectful submission to those who are over us. So that in this way there may be peace in our homes and peace in the church. That disagreements would be dealt with in a right way. In a biblical way. But also, Father, we pray that Thou wilt strengthen us now to go forward in obedience. Because most of all, Father, we desire to live under the authority of Thee and the authority of Thy Word in all parts of our lives. And in this, may we show our love for Thee, a love that Thou hast put in our hearts, because Thou art the God who has first loved us. Forgive us of our sins. And strengthen us to walk in Thy ways. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.